Tuxedos, yes. On the red carpet.
Looking sharp.
Yeah, Aaron's sharp. Actually fits remarkably well. I'm impressed with that. Brooks Brothers?
Yes, I had it specially made for me.
Wow.
It's just Taylor. The Vulcan ears with it that just seems a little
Mine's
strange.
From my wedding, so.
Yeah, I know, but that baby blue pink tuxedo, like that baby blue
frills
pink.
Were in when I got married, and I'm sticking by that story.
And Peter is wearing his Starfleet formal wear.
Yeah. Formal wear.
Yeah. It's nice.
Looks good.
It's nice. It's good. It's. I'd wear underwear next time, but that's just me.
Listen, I didn't want any lines.
Right.
Just saying.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, nothing puts people off as like panty lines on right. a Starfleet formal.
Uniform.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. I guess we know what you're voting for this year.
Mm.
Your favorite this year, Star Trek.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, yeah. It's the 2009 Geekies.
It is the 2009 Geekies. We do it around the Academy Awards.
Roughly.
Roughly. And yeah.
We are recording it
around the Academy Awards.
1 week after the Academy Awards have gone off this year. We're a little
not,
off our game.
Whether or not that'll end up being on the air 1 week after. Yeah,
we'll get it out fast.
We'll get it.
But we have actually, we sent out emails to our listeners. We received back suggestions for nominations.
Thousands of responses.
I have picked the most popular suggestions from the Geeklings and then added one or two here from the Geeks ourselves. And we've actually added two new categories this year. See if you can pick them out.
Woohoo!
So,
should we get right to it, or what do you want to do?
I think we should probably jump right in.
Well, no. I thought we were going to do a little stand-up comedy beforehand.
No.
And then
No, we're going to do a song and dance. Ready? All right, let's go.
No, that's just...
All right, well, let's skip to the first category.
But we have Neil Patrick Harris on standby.
And that's definitely a reason to continue on.
Okay.
Wow.
I think he's very talented.
By the way, I hear
Matt lives in Hollywood and he will be cut if he doesn't say that.
The rumor was that was a last minute thing because Martin Short was supposed to do Martin Short was supposed to do a number and that canceled and they asked him to come and do it really quickly and he did that thing like
I heard they asked Sacha Baron Cohen to do something and he pulled out as well.
It was I agree with you. Neil Patrick Harris, he's funny and he's done very little wrong.
I actually love
recently.
Dr. Horrible, but
but that opening was sort of nice.
It was sort of nice a weird. Bugsby yeah. Berkeley. How do you say that? Busby Berkeley.
Yeah.
You know,
a
number.
Bugsby
Berkeley.
A Bugsby Bunny Berkeley.
I watched Roger Rabbit last night. And
what's up, Doc? I killed the wab.
Nice.
Okay, well, the Geekies. We don't have Neil here for the Geekies. Maybe exactly. Next year we'll ask him ahead of time.
But we sit here. This is me, Don. Hi, everybody. Don will be playing the part of Price Waterhouse tonight.
All right, we should actually introduce ourselves before we go.
I know who the winners are.
Hi, I'm Matt. I am an actor here in Los Angeles, and I am a geek.
Hi, I'm Peter. I'm a screenwriter here in Los Angeles, and I am a geek.
Hi, my name is Aaron. I'm a graphic designer and filmmaker here in Los Angeles, and I'm a geek.
And I'm Don, and I am a Geeks on Pollster living here in Hollywood, and I, too, am a geek.
Woohoo!
Nice. Don, what's our first category that we'll be discussing?
I'm going to let you folks pick out the categories because I know what the winners are, so you guys can choose the lineup.
I think we should just go with it straight as we got it.
Yeah, because it seems to be...
Yeah, I think I like our escalation that we have. So why don't we just go with Best Adaptation?
Best Adaptation. And the nominations are...
And Peter. This is television, video games, movies, whatever. Yeah. We're a little loosey-goosey on here.
We're inclusive.
We're inclusive.
Peter, you want to lead off the nominations?
And the nominations are... Watchmen, Arkham Asylum,
the video game,
Coraline, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, and The Road.
Okay, well, we'll discuss what we personally chose, and then we'll have Don read the winners.
Well, if we all discuss what we personally chose, won't we know what the winner is?
Yeah. I think we should probably announce the winner and then discuss why we picked some of the ones we did.
Okay, right. That sounds good.
All right. The winner for Best Adaptation goes to the video game Arkham Asylum this year.
Really?
Yeah. That one surprised me.
Let's talk about this for a second. First of all, Coraline was fun, but not that good.
It wasn't great.
It was cute.
It had moments of cuteness.
Harry Potter was a bridge movie this time.
It was a bridge movie. It was
For those of you who don't know what that means, it's just a way to get us to the next movie.
Right. Yeah.
It's the Empire Strikes Back. Yeah.
But it wasn't the Empire Strikes Back, and that was the issue.
Empire is a bridge movie.
Yeah.
Empire is a bridge movie, but Empire has a definitive beginning, middle, and end. This has a beginning, middle, and a...
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, Harry Potter was just you might as well just say ellipsis through the
whole
movie.
And the book was not like that, you're saying?
No,
The book stood alone
Watchmen, it was good, but people...
Now, I picked The Watchmen.
You did?
I picked The Watchmen because, to me...
it made the comic book that you didn't particularly like better.
Well, no, I thought the comic book was good. I putting it on the pedestal. I didn't read it when it came out,
right?
And so, out of context, and after years and years and years, I'm like, wow, interesting. I didn't know it.
Right. It's like going back and finding an impressionist painting when everything else moved
right. So, but I thought after reading the comic book, I was like, wow, they're making a movie. Wow, this is not gonna work. And the movie wasn't the best thing on the planet, but I thought the movie was pretty damn good, I thought it was better than the comic.
But
as far as
the point you said was, it wasn't the best thing on the planet.
Wasn't the best thing.
Like, I loved it. I loved the movie, but it was. But there were things. It wasn't perfect.
Right.
It was like a 60-70%
for
me.
Now, that being said,
but I thought it was those filmmakers worked.
They did
hard.
They absolutely
to get
did.
That movie
they
to work.
Absolutely did.
Yes.
The thing is,
working hard was all you had to do to get an Academy Award.
Then hard ticket to Hawaii, probably.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. I just compared that to that. Yeah.
I don't know how to go past that.
Well, okay. So here's the thing. The thing for me with Batman Arkham Asylum was I have yet to see anybody who play that game who did not walk out going, I'm Batman.
That is true.
It was the best video game of a superhero franchise that I've played.
Period.
You are right. Yeah. You're right.
Period.
There has been the first Spider-Man game that came out on the PlayStation 1 or 2 or whatever, I thought was amazing. But you're right. Batman was probably the best superhero game.
Now, that said,
game.
I voted for The Road this time around.
Really?
Now, did you see the movie?
I did see the movie.
See, I haven't seen it. I'd love.
Yeah, I didn't see it, so I couldn't vote for it.
In my opinion, it is the best adaptation of a book I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. It was the book on screen. I had the same emotional feeling walking out of there, which means it's a hard movie to vote for because you walk out of there with no feeling left.
Right.
Yeah.
You're just it's
brutal.
It is brutal. It's just them hitting you in the gut for 2 hours. But that said, it was amazing.
Yeah.
For me, adaptation wise, that one couldn't beat. The others didn't touch.
I think The Road got a little Scrooged on this one because not everyone saw it.
I saw it as well. Yeah.
Oh, but you still picked.
I like The Road. I didn't think it said as much. I wanted it to be. There was something about The Road that felt
post-mini.
I felt like it wasn't telling me enough. I love how they didn't explain the world. Like, why is the world that way? They didn't really get into it. Yeah.
They should have done with Postman.
I feel like that the gruesomeness should have been a little more prevalent or something. I don't know. There's something I felt like
it just wasn't it for you. It wasn't complete.
As awful as some of the scenes they included were, the most horrific scenes that burned the most horrible images in my mind from the book were omitted. That's true.
And I heard there was a baby on the spit scene that was actually filmed and not edited in.
Okay.
It's so hard to come back from that.
Picking up from the book.
It's hard to come back from the whole baby on the
spit. Shall we move on?
That was in the book. So,
best bad movie or TV. So this is a controversial category for some of us. The concept here is of the nominations, which is the best guilty pleasure?
Which is the one you'd actually watch all the way through?
Well, I guess
I
couldn't really vote for. I had a hard time even voting for any of these.
Yeah, okay. Me too.
Fair enough. So the nominations are...
Smallville, Transformers Revenge of the Fallen, Twilight, New Moon, 2012, Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li, oh my god, sorry, and Heroes.
I
had a hard time with that.
The winner is, for best bad movie or TV, Transformers Revenge of the Fallen.
Wow.
And this was not, by any stretch of the by the imagination, a unanimous vote. So let's talk about some of these.
Okay.
Twilight, New Moon, received no votes, probably because none of us are 14-year-old girls. Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li, actually did not receive any votes, nor did Heroes this time around.
Street Fighter was so bad.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it because of the people I saw it with and the environment I was seeing it in, not because of the movie.
I'd put a spike in my eye.
Here's the two that I would have voted for. I was going through my Smallville, I vote for Smallville only because it's now like a bad habit. It's like smoking.
Yeah.
Like, I just turn it on and watch it because I have to, not because I enjoy it at all.
Yeah. But the thing is, it punished me so badly that I've now given up. And it takes so much to make me give up on
a film. I haven't watched
it
in a while.
I went through a phase like that with Heroes, where I was still watching it just because I invested a certain amount of time in it, and I just sort of felt like I had to keep investing it.
Yeah.
You know, it's good money after bad, so to speak.
Yeah. The season finale for Heroes was it finally allowed me to break with that series.
I didn't even
get
that
far. You were like, it's finally gotten bad enough, I can leave.
It's finally, I've learned all I can from this badness. None of these mistakes are ones I can make anymore.
How many people saw
2012.
I saw.
Now, 2012.
I actually voted for it.
2012, I maybe should have voted for only because I knew I was going into a bad movie.
Yes. It was even marketed that way.
And so I was like not disappointed. I mean, I went to go see the Earth Crumble, and they gave me The Earth Crumbling.
Yeah, it's like, here's a special effects movie. It's going to be a smorgasbord of disasters. It is straight up, we're offering you disaster porn, and we're going to deliver.
Yeah, unfortunately, I wanted to see it. There's a theater in our town that has rumble seats.
What?
That move.
Where?
The Chinese. Man's Chinese. Oh,
Man's Chinese has rumble seats?
And they move in time with certain movies.
They don't just rumble, they actually tilt.
They tilt and move.
They'll sit you back, they'll sway you around corners
and
stuff.
This movie was actually put out and had a version of that, but it was not playing at that theater at the time, and so
That was dumb.
Yeah, it was dumb. So I really wanted to go and see it in the rumble seat, but I did not make
it. So I'm assuming the other two of you voted for Transformers.
Yeah. I'll watch it for Megan Fox's ass alone.
It got the Megan Fox Award.
Yeah. Wow.
Megan Fox Award goes to Transformers.
Pretty much.
That movie was excruciating.
Yeah, it's painful.
Moving on to Best Actor in TV or Film.
Best actor in a TV or film: Michael Emerson, Lost; Terry O'Quinn, Lost; Robert Downey Jr., Sherlock Holmes; Zachary Quinto, Star Trek; and Jim Parsons, Big Bang Theory.
And the Best Actor in TV or Film award goes to Michael Emerson in Lost.
No, really? Hands down, easy.
Yeah, he's so good.
Did you see
the most recent episode of Lost?
I think I did.
I've seen nothing of this season, so please do not give any anyone.
Unreal. There's an episode that focuses on him that is unreal how good it is.
Well, so this is a guy who plays Ben. I love the villain.
Found him as almost a guest star, and
right, and he was supposed to be on for like
a couple episodes, and they were like, "This guy can act."
Yeah, he makes that show for me right now.
Yeah. He's actually the only thing that makes that show for me. As much as I love my friend Dan Kim,
I like a couple people.
I like Locke as well.
I'm talking about the show in its entirety.
Yeah,
I feel like Lost just really jumped the shark. But that's neither here nor there.
Fair enough.
I'm still okay with it actually, but just barely. Like there are things I'm really liking, but I'm waiting to see where it goes.
Right.
Now, this was a category where I actually thought some of these other people did very good jobs in their stuff. Robert Downey Jr.
Absolutely.
Was fantastic in Sherlock.
Political award for Charlie Chaplin.
The script really screwed him in that one.
Well, first of all, I think Robert Downey Jr. was playing himself in Sherlock Holmes.
Robert Downey Jr.
He's a miser. That's what he does. You know?
He's appallingly charismatic. I mean, he's just amazingly charismatic, and that's...
But I didn't think he was stretching any type of, acting.
He wasn't
muscle.
Bringing Chaplin in.
But that said, I think the one of the unsung heroes of geekdom right now is Jim Parsons in Big Bang Theory.
Yes. I agree.
He's fantastic in that show and is actually sort of a good voice for geekdom in a lot of ways. Yeah. I hate to admit it, but he is.
Yeah, he makes that show.
Let's move on to Best Actress in TV or Film.
I think this is going to be a blowout, but we'll see. Yvonne Strahovski, Chuck. Elizabeth Mitchell, Lost and V. Zoe Saldana, Star Trek, Avatar. Sigourney Weaver, Avatar. Mary McDonnell, BSG, Battlestar Galactica.
And Best Actress in TV or Film, the award goes to Mary McDonnell in Battlestar Galactica.
Seriously?
Unanimous? It was a unanimous decision.
Is that our only unanimous?
No, we actually have a couple unanimous decisions.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm really not surprised because she's just an unreal actor.
Yeah. And you know what? I love Elizabeth Mitchell. I think Elizabeth Mitchell, I liked her on Lost. I think the work that she does on V saves that show.
Ugh.
Because that show...
She brought a level of complexity to her that I don't see in any of the other actors.
But she always she has very honest eyes to me. I mean,
I like her in Lost. I think she is miscast in V.
I think she's one of the better things about V, but I agree.
Who is she in Lost?
She could do better.
She was sort of Sawyer's love interest. She was Juliet.
She was the baby doctor from The Others.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So, Best Actress in TV or Film. Anybody else want to discuss it? I mean, Zoe Saldana did fine in a lot of those other roles.
Yeah, I wanted to know how many Muppets were killed to make her dress at the Academy Awards.
By the way, Yvonne is in Mass Effect 2.
Really?
And
who is she in Mass Effect 2?
She's the blonde in Chuck.
Yeah, but who is she in Mass Effect 2?
She's the blonde in Mass Effect 2. She's the lead woman. The funny thing is they put her likeness in there too. Like, it's not only is she voicing it over, she has a British accent.
Hmm.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah.
You mean she's the brunette in Mass Effect 2?
Oh, is she brunette in there? Oh yeah, you're right. She is brunette in there.
I was a little thrown.
I keep putting, she's the brunette in there and she's okay in there. It's weird to see her face. Like, normally they just hire the actor.
Yeah.
They decided to actually digitize her likeness in there. So, like, all of a sudden
she's got a very nice likeness.
Well, I got to say she's hot in that, but what's really funny is there's something a little off in the teeth.
You're right.
Of people, and especially hers. She's got slightly...
Everybody looks like they have British teeth.
Everyone has slightly rabbit teeth. Their front two teeth.
I agree.
But they're also too glistening and a little bit yellowy. It's odd, at least on my TV. Maybe it's my color scheme.
Not that, but yeah.
So let's move on to Best Geek TV Show.
Chuck. Lost. Torchwood. Children of Earth. Wonder what John voted for. Star Wars. Clone Wars. And Battlestar Galactica.
And the award for Best Geek TV Show goes to Battlestar Galactica.
Unanimous?
Unanimous.
Really? You went for that over Torchwood?
Yeah, it's Battlestar Galactica.
Okay.
Well, we had the...
Hello.
Even with that ending.
The most controversial season.
I liked the ending. I was the one who liked the
ending.
Oh,
that's right. Okay.
Yeah, the most controversial season, including the controversial ending, Battlestar Galactica.
I don't think it's controversial. Never mind.
It is controversial. The fact that we're debating whether or not it's controversial makes it controversial.
Okay.
Challenge!
Okay.
Now, it was interesting this was...
I'm choosing not to argue.
This was one of the least nominated ones from people writing in.
Really?
And now I'm not sure if it because it ended so long ago. I mean, we even had to go online to confirm
that
it did air
probably,
in 2009.
That's going to have a lot to do with it.
But some, I mean, I have to point out some of the surprises on this list. I mean, Lost was like on every nomination list. Torchwood came in on about as many as Battlestar Galactica.
Really?
That surprised me. Star Wars Clone Wars came in on a few. But Chuck was one. It was the most heavily nominated of the bunch.
Now, Chuck lost me in the first season, but I've seen an episode or two of it this year, and each time I've been like, you know, that looked pretty good.
Well,
I
now he's.
Admit, I think Chuck actually got better after the first.
Well,
season.
Well, now he's a super spy, right? Now he can.
Well, at the end,
now he knows kung fu.
Now he's Keanu from the Matrix.
Yeah.
Oh, like, I didn't know that, but I saw they brought his father.
Now
in,
he knows
cool.
kung fu.
So that was last.
That was
season.
Two episodes.
Oh, was that two episodes?
Okay. He was a guest star.
Yeah. 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 At the end of last season. He lost his powers entirely, which is what he always wanted because he could go back to being normal. And, of course, to save his friends, he had to accept the powers back. But the powers got upgraded. And so him just having knowledge, he got skills.
Interesting.
But they only come intermittently, so he doesn't have them all the time.
So he's kind of like the greatest American hero.
So it's like whenever he panics, they come to him. So, but if he tries to concentrate, it doesn't.
So this is a pretty good lineup, I would say. Like, I'm looking at the list that we have here, and I actually disagree with the rest of you. I think Lost has been fairly decent this season, actually. I'm enjoying it.
I haven't seen it, so I don't know. Season 6, I was like, what? What?
Last season is when I thought Lost started going off the rails. And that's, you know, to me, it felt like they were stretching out... like they knew that they had to just make episodes. And so this whole like going backward in time, going forward in time, going backward in time, going in the middle of time, going backward in time, to me, it was a waste of time. It was a waste of time, really. It wasn't saying anything. It wasn't advancing the characters or anything. It was just like random, just
plot for plot.
I would say that there was a lot of plot that season. I'll agree with that. But I would disagree that there wasn't character advancement. There wasn't character change. I'll agree with that, but there was character illumination. And I did enjoy last season. So there you go. Moving on to best video game. Aaron, take it away.
Best video game. Left 4 Dead 2.
I like how you do it with the computer voice.
I have to do it like the Academy Awards. Left 4 Dead 2. Dragon Age Origins. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. Uncharted 2 Among Thieves, Halo 3 ODST, Batman Arkham Asylum, Fallout 3. Doesn't that sound like the people from...
We have to do a competition where Aaron will like do your answering machine message
right.
for you if
yeah,
you win.
Yeah, if you win.
Yeah. All right. And the best video game award goes to Uncharted 2 Among Thieves.
Okay. Wow.
This was not unanimous.
This one actually was a rough... This is a good list of games right
yeah.
here.
And this is one of the reasons why we actually have... I tried my best to narrow down the nominations to 5, but this... Last year
was a great year for games.
I couldn't do it.
Last year was
a great year for games.
Now, the ones that received no votes are... There are some surprises on this list. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 did not receive any votes from us. Halo 3 did not receive any votes from us. Fallout 3 did not receive any votes from us.
I thought those were good games, but they weren't amazing games.
And surprise, surprise, considering how much Peter and I talk about it, Left 4 Dead 2 did not receive any votes
again,
this time around.
Again, I think that's
some
a great
of these
party
other
game.
Games simply overshadowed.
Left 4 Dead 2, and I'm going to speak maybe for you, was not really an advancement in what Left 4 Dead 1 was.
I think it was a mild advancement, but I don't think it was enough to take the thunder from some of these other games that just did advance the world of video games either through story or gameplay or graphics.
To me, that's what Halo 3 ODST had a problem was, is like... And I think I'm going to have that problem with Reach. Reach make it sound like it's this whole new game, and then they show this little clip. I go, it just looks like
Same
Halo.
Thing.
I don't understand what the you know big deal is.
Yep.
But to me, it was just Halo 3 add-on pack.
Yeah.
It was fun as hell.
It's fun as hell. It's really fun. I really like the city. I actually thought that should have been what the second game was, the second Halo, you know? But
interesting.
It wasn't.
Fallout 3... While in itself a wonderful game, mm-hmm. like I really do praise Fallout 3. It was an excellent game. I really didn't think it brought anything new to the realm of story.
That started to show its age as far as role playing. To me, that was it's Morrowind or Oblivion with
Oblivion with a new skin.
With a new skin. That's well, all it was.
Actually, I had more problems with it than that because Oblivion had a more detailed world.
I agree. You know,
and Peter went to Oblivion.
Not only that, but it had a more interesting, visually interesting world.
Well, that was the thing. If you went through Oblivion, you know, you would find places in Oblivion that had like just you know,
it
all sorts of
different
herbs. And different. And Fallout 3 was pretty much the same look the whole way through it.
Yeah.
And the other problem
and it
was
depressing.
The creatures in Fallout 3 were. They all looked pretty much the same.
You
got a sense of what they were pretty quickly. So it wasn't like what I would compare it to is World of Warcraft. You go into World of Warcraft, and you can. And part of the fun is exploring new territories, and it's totally different, and it's completely cool. And you see this waterfall, and half the fun is just checking out the waterfall and running up there so you can get the view of it.
Well, Oblivion was like that,
too. The fact that there is a unique waterfall here. Like, no other place in the game will you find a waterfall that looks like that.
Looks like that, exactly. You know,
whereas with Fallout, it's like, oh, look, I found a blown-up building.
There's another
look, there's that same blown-up building right over there.
Yeah.
So that was the one problem with it was it didn't, you know, while the gameplay was great, it didn't have that type of escalation of visual style.
Now, we had one vote for Batman Arkham Asylum.
Yes. Okay.
Now, I had a problem choosing between Uncharted 2 and Batman Arkham Asylum. Batman was a freaking awesome game.
It really was.
It was a badass game.
Yep.
It really was good. But when I played Uncharted 2, it was another, I felt like I was playing
a movie.
Next generation video game. I felt like they had knocked off the little nooks and crannies that a video game still have. Like I played Assassin's Creed 2 is not on this list. Assassin's Creed 2 is a big ass game and it's good. But when you play it, you feel like you're playing an older game.
Note, Assassin's Creed 2 did not receive a single nomination from anyone who wrote in.
Interesting.
No. Again. Yeah, good.
But there's, you know, like life bars and map things and arrows pointing and like shit. It's just shit's covering the screen. And when you play Uncharted, none of that's on there. And yet you get all that information. It's like they've thought through and said, you know what? Let's think of something different. And the storytelling, they deliver a story like a movie. And they, unlike having to like read through, you know, backstory logs or hitting, you know, audio clips. Like, you know, it's they've advanced storytelling. And
excellent.
It was a total blast to play. Anybody who has not played Uncharted 2, go find a PS3 and go play it.
And this was kind of the weird thing for me is I actually voted for Uncharted 2 without having played it because simply the word of mouth on this really makes me wish I had a PS3.
I see the point that it got better word of mouth than anything else. Mm. And I loved Batman Arkham Asylum. I loved it. Don't get me wrong. I had to put down Dragon Age, though.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been my vote if I hadn't done
that. I admit that, but I also believe Dragon Age didn't advance the industry as much as these other games have. But Dragon Age, I think, for me, had done the best job at storytelling that I've seen in any video game yet.
But you haven't played Mass Effect yet, have you?
That's this year.
No. Okay. But that's also... And Mass Effect 2, by the way, that was the number one nominated game, and that came out in 2010. So that is not on the nomination
Doesn't list. Count!
But Dragon Age, I mean, a little tiny side thing you do over on this side of the world has ramifications over here, and they recorded voiceover for it.
Oh, you're gonna love it's Mass Effect 2, Don.
Amazing to me. And like... you know, all these, I actually hit a point in Dragon Age where like, okay, my character's been thrown in a jail cell and the rest of my party is going to go off to rescue him. And there were so many variations on you have to pick two characters that'll go rescue him. And each combination of two characters sets up a different story that they're selling the guards to sneak past.
Yeah,
they were
cool.
So freaking funny. I had to play through all of them just to find out.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, like, these two will disguise themselves as circus performers to try and sneak past. These two will try and pass themselves off as a dog trainer, and, like, the worst dog trainer ever. I am a giant with a dog. I train him. Let me pass or I will kill you. You know, it's just like, it was the best stuff. Yeah, I mean, it was hilarious.
Hmm.
So that attention to detail had to take my nomination.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's too. A lot of work and a lot of thought, and I just appreciate that. So our next category is best design or art style in movie or TV.
Since we're talking about video games, can I pull back for 1 second? Because there's something I want to talk about, and this is kind of a jump. Mm-hmm. But have you guys noticed that Dragon Age Origins, and you'll see it with Mass Effect 2, has done something new where they're really trying to make sure that they don't lose money from resales of games?
Yep.
So they're making it so that if you want to do any of the expansions, you have to pay. Everything always comes with an expansion. And to get those, you have to pay a premium to get at them. It'll come for free if you buy the...
the other game.
The game itself directly, but if you buy it...
Yeah,
used,
almost all games are doing it now. Yeah. You go buy it, you get a code, and you get free armor, or you get a new mission, or everyone's trying to...
Or a character, like Shale comes for free in Dragon Age if you buy it directly, and he's one of the best characters in the game.
I played through Dragon Age twice.
Yeah.
The first time I played through, I was like, I don't know if I'm committing to this, so I just played through.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I liked this so much, I'm going to play again. I want that extra character.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect that much. I expected just sort of an extra character glommed on. Yeah. But the character, that downloadable character, had so much personality, was so well written, and was actually seamlessly integrated to the entire game.
Yeah.
I was very pleased.
That's because it wasn't really a download. It was probably an unlock.
Most likely. Most likely. But the amount of work it would take to remove all that, mm-hmm. I'm curious about.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on.
Best design or art style in movie or TV. This is not special effects, everybody. This is the look of it. The
yep.
overall design and the presentation of the movie. The cohesiveness of it.
We'll probably get some email. There's all sorts of crazy geeky movies out there, especially foreign films, stuff that are not on this list. It's just, it's endless. Yeah. So we'll probably get a lot of email.
But keep in mind, and I mean, we had a lot of nominations from Geeklings on this one. But this one, I pared it back partially to try and represent the most represented nominations and also to keep it within the realm of geek as best I could. Okay. So the nominations for this one are Coraline, Avatar, District 9, Watchmen, and Star Trek. And the winner is, by unanimous decision, Avatar.
Come on.
I don't know.
That world was unreal.
Yeah, I mean, to discuss some of these other, Coraline had a beautiful through line to the look of the whole piece.
Yeah.
No matter what you thought about the movie itself, you can't really argue. It looked great.
It was mm-hmm. pretty.
District 9, fantastic new
neat world
and stuff. And the alien technology that's presented seemed so sort of naturalistic.
Yeah.
That's one of the first times I've seen sci-fi technology presented so naturalistically.
Yep.
Watchmen, a cohesive, beautifully put together world. It's hard to argue you didn't feel like you were in that place when you're watching the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And Star Trek, same thing. It's the first time I saw the Star Trek universe back home and sort of felt it was appropriately done.
I loved it when they were in Starfleet. As soon as they got out into space, I felt like they kind of jump back into the who's the alien with the prosthetic on his forehead for this week feel to it. Mm. That was one of the problems I had with Star Trek.
It's Star Trek.
But Avatar, regardless of what you think of the movie, beautiful, beautiful art style. Cohesively held together through the whole
thing. Where did those waterfalls come from? From
one,
the floating
two worlds.
The floating waterfalls? Every Japanese anime ever?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, but where does the water come from?
Okay.
If you've got a floating rock, where does the water? Is it they have an endless tank of water somewhere?
The rock is bleeding.
Okay.
No, maybe the rocks are super heated because they're floating up in the air. So they've actually got to be hot. And then the mist, they're in the mist. The mist hits them.
Condenses,
turns the
with
water.
All the things
falls
in
off.
Avatar, it's the water production. That
come on, this is the guy.
I
actually thought about the same thing, but then there's the fact that they're floating islands, which you also kind of go.
And they're chained down with vines. But, I mean, but Aaron turned to me. This is the guy who turned to me in Lord of the Rings. When in the second Lord of the Rings, when the Balrog is falling and Gandalf is coming down after him.
Oh, no.
And he goes, I guess wizards fall faster than Balrogs.
That's true.
And I had two thoughts simultaneously appear in my head, which were, really? And I love this man.
Aaron. He was pulled by the whip, so he had momentum.
Oh, okay.
Come on.
That's okay, good.
This next category cracks
geek
me
physics
up.
Hello.
Hottest male in TV or film.
Okay.
Okay. I have to add the disclaimer here that almost every single submission we had the disclaimer, my wife picked these.
Right.
Yeah, nobody wanted to admit that, you know, oh, well, God, well, even I know
I wanted
this guy's
to
hot.
Vote for Billy Crudup's penis in this, but.
He made the list. I just edited out the penis part.
Right, right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So the hottest male in TV or film.
Zachary Quinto in Star Trek, Chris Pine in Star Trek, Matthew Fox from Lost, Josh Holloway from Lost, Sam Worthington from Avatar, Dr. Manhattan, augmented Billy Crudup in Watchmen.
I mean, he was ostensibly played by Billy Crudup, but that,
yeah,
mostly
but that
was
body
not
was,
Billy Crudup.
Was no Billy Crudup.
Hottest male in TV or film goes to Sam Worthington from Avatar.
Really?
Is this unanimous?
No. This was hotly contested. The
hotly.
Ones, well, I'm actually shocked that he got it.
Really?
I am genuinely shocked. Like,
Sam Worthington?
He's probably the least interesting of the bunch to me.
Okay.
As far as hotness
here's
goes,
the thing.
I'm just like,
I was originally going to vote for Billy Crudup's penis, and then I switched to Josh Holloway because my wife sighs every time she sees him, mm-hmm. So I was like,
the
I
people
go
who
Josh
did
Holloway.
Not receive any votes are Zachary Quinto, Chris Pine, and Matthew Fox. Received no support.
Well, you got Dr. Manhattan swinging the blue pipe, but I don't think that you can vote for someone just because they're naked.
I'm not, but I'm voting for him because of all of these guys. Yeah. He's the one who inspired the most conversation about male form over the past year.
Okay,
but it's a
nobody
digital,
else.
But it's fake. I mean,
but it's the hottest male. He is male, and people talked about him.
Yeah, but
that was
but
the category.
Why are, but I don't know anyone that would want to sleep with him.
Why are blue aliens always over-sexualized?
Because they're blue, and blue's hot.
Smurfs?
You know?
So, Smurfs? Smurfette. How many Smurfette jokes are there with the whole one woman
in
a
Mass Effect
thing of 2, men?
She's got the stripper boobs.
It's
so,
true.
Okay, but let's finish this conversation about the guys. Okay, so, but I don't know anyone that would actually want to sleep with them. I mean, like, no one's like, you know,
well, they,
oh,
not
wow.
only that, but the,
I gotta get
I have to
that.
Disagree because they even have the scene in Watchmen where he, like, has a foursome with her, you know, where they
I don't
they,
have much
they,
to add to this conversation.
Okay. I'm not comfortable with this.
Aaron's not comfortable.
I mean, I don't know how much I can rally for okay. Sam Worthington here.
Right.
But
so look,
Josh Holloway from Lost, I don't think you can contest that he's got some really smoking action, like every woman in the world.
But Sam Worthington
and an awful lot of the men.
Well, actually,
I mean, think about
say,
those.
Oh,
Sam
Lord.
Worthington is playing the lead character in every movie that is out right now. Period.
But I hear
he's the leading
of,
man.
But I hear
period.
A lot of people going, "Why?"
Well, you know, but like, here, actually,
trust me, he's putting butts in the seats. Otherwise, they would not be casting him.
Here's the thing:
I question that he was in the lead in so many movies
mm-hmm.
that. They couldn't have known people's reaction to him when they cast him in all of these.
He's still getting kind
of... Here's the thing. Josh Holloway, I actually think he's more attractive than Sam Worthington. I personally think he's more interesting. And I'm surprised he's not a bigger star.
I'm actually very surprised that Josh Holloway is not a bigger star.
But Sam Worthington is one of two guys that my wife has a crush on and goes gaga over.
What?
He's got the whole Australian masculine thing. You know, like the
Australian guys are taking over all the major parts.
He's got that. He's got the whole like rugged, like
swarthy,
like,
blah
go
blah blah,
kill things for you thing. Which, you know, I
okay.
I don't get it, but I see the.
I all
see
I know
the reaction
is we have an
wife.
Awful lot of male Australian listeners who are obviously very secure in their sexuality.
There you go. All right.
Because they could come over here and,
it is,
and
take all of our women.
It
all
is
of
bizarre our... because Australians always become the manly men.
Well,
I mean,
they
always play.
If you want to find a good American,
well, I mean, they're
you got to go to Australia.
That stereotype in the United States. Australians are manly. Englishmen are dignified.
Yeah.
You know, Irishmen are sort of rough and tumble.
But
like, that's
thing,
our stereotype.
No, but
here.
The thing is that most people watching Australian actors have no clue they're Australian. Most people.
Oh, that's probably true.
I mean, like, really, like, half the people who are Aussies. Like you,
they're
you,
not
you,
doing
you
Aus- they're not doing Aussie accents in anything they do.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
So it's like we find you really attractive, except your voice. Which can you change that? Because it just annoys me.
Yeah. All right. All right,
they did that.
Moving
for
on to hottest
Road Warrior,
female in TV or film. The nominees are
Ivan Stravinsky. Is that
Strahovski?
Strahovski.
Hovsky.
Strahovski.
Never mind. I give up on you.
Elijah Dushku. Megan Fox. from Transformers: Revenge of the Fallen.
One on purpose. Megan Fox.
Megan Fox. Zoe Zanala. What's her name?
Saldana.
Saldana. Evangeline Lilly from Lost.
Oh, that one you get. And the winner goes to, by unanimous consent, Megan Fox from Transformers.
What?
Surprising. Elizabeth Duke.
I would like to point out this is not the best actress category.
No. Well, no. You know, the thing is...
Best actress in what?
I think that Megan Fox has been willing to slut it up a little for us.
What do you mean, be willing? That's her only gig.
Yeah.
She knows her best asset.
What I find fantastic is that this is a woman who claims, and it's her claim, I don't know, that she's only slept with two people in her life, and Brian Austin Green is one of them. So I find it interesting.
What did Brian Austin Green?
From 90210, the young Ponzi, and he's been her boyfriend for 6 years, something like that now. And I find it very interesting that this woman who is just leaking sex onto the screen.
Leaving a trail of sticky sex across the screen.
Yeah, I mean, that's what she does, is now saying, I only slept with two people. So, you know, why not? If that's the way...
I've never said that she was a slut. I'm just saying she's hot.
Yeah.
But she sluts it up for you. She leans over, she sticks her ass out, she pushes her boobs out. Yeah, you know.
Sluts it up. It's not saying she's slutty. She's saying, he's saying she sluts it up.
She's an actress.
You know, yeah, right.
Matt, but she's an actress.
Whereas Evangeline Lilly, you know,
sluts it up.
Who would be my second choice, you know, is really attractive, but she doesn't
She's got that Playboy girl next door thing.
Exactly.
My second choice would have to be Yvonne Strahovski.
Yeah.
Really?
I think she's beautiful.
Yeah, she's pretty smoking hot.
No, she's... Ugh. Yeah, you know, I actually don't know. Is she talking about... She's the main girl in Chuck that's... Yes.
Actually, she's Zoe's cute. Pretty smoking hot. Actually, there's a lot of hot
Zoe Saldana,
in.
Though, we Zoe know her more in her blue form than her real life form.
Now, who nominated Deuce Q?
Yeah, who did?
We had two different
nominees. Did Joss Whedon call in?
Because I don't get it.
Not saying anything.
I don't get it. I don't get it at all.
Oh, I do. Okay. I do get it.
I don't get it. She's
cute, but I mean, come on.
She's cute.
No, she's one of those people that she can... If you like a certain type, she's tough. You know, she's a tomboy type. That's she plays to that role great.
But I think
Olivia Munn goes back on the list.
Hands down.
All right.
Anyway,
best acting in a video game. Okay, I'll read this one. Did you want to read it?
I'll read it.
Okay.
You don't want me to pronounce names anymore?
No.
Best acting in a video game: Dragon Age, Steve Valentine, Claudia Black, Kate Mulgrew, and Tim Curry. Halo 3, ODST, Nathan Fillion, Adam Baldwin, and Trisha Helfer. Batman: Arkham Asylum, Mark Hamill, Kevin Conroy, Tom Kane, and Fred.
Tataskiori.
Ha! So you got one.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Or as it's spelled here, Modern Warfare.
Oh, it is Modern Warfare.
Lance Henriksen. That is Henriksen. You just misspelled it, right? Okay. Kevin McKidd. Billy Murray. And Craig Fairbrass. Uncharted 2 Among Thieves. Nolan North, Emily Rose, and Richard McGonagall.
Emily Rose! And the winner goes to... The winner is Uncharted 2 Among Thieves.
Really? Okay. Wow, I'm glad people voted for that.
Well, this was another one of those hotly contested ones.
Yeah.
The ones that did not receive any votes are Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 and Halo 3. I voted for Dragon Age for obvious reasons.
I'm
most familiar with that one.
Batman Arkham Asylum.
Yep.
Matt
and Aaron voted for
Here's the thing. Batman Arkham Asylum, I had like mixed... feelings about it. I really felt like
the style of what they were portraying in terms of the image was not matching.
There was like this kind of grittiness to the visuals, and I felt like I was getting a little cartoony on the right. audio, and it just didn't sync up. And now that I've seen a Joker that has a little more subtlety to it, the whole like pushed. pushed version seems so kind of insincere now. I'm starting to, I don't know.
Heath Ledger ruined it for you.
And not only that, but for some reason, I also kept hearing Baby Stewie a lot in the Joker.
That's funny.
I could
see a little Joker influence in Stewie.
There's like some Baby Stewie thing going on. And every once in a while, I'd be like, that sounds like Stewie.
They should do Baby Stewie as the Joker.
As the Joker.
Yeah. That would be awesome.
Wow.
Ooh, Batman.
Now, mm-hmm. I understand where you're coming from, but once I got past mm-hmm. the disconnect between the visual and the voice,
mm-hmm.
to me, that voice is so classic now. The Mark yeah. Hamill Joker is something I will never be able to yes. just release.
And you know? You haven't seen a lot of the episodes yeah. of the cartoon. I mean, he just... He wins.
Yeah. I actually start getting over it, but Uncharted 2, there was subtlety going on there. Yeah. There was jokes that worked because the actors made them work. Like, they were tough lines to pull off, and I thought they did them well.
Yes.
I felt like I felt like they were all in a room together yeah. instead of like in a booth separately trying to read against each other. Like, I felt like there were actually a connection between all the people, and I thought
right.
it really, really
worked. The thing about Uncharted 2 and why I voted for it is I just think that Uncharted doesn't actually have that much spine in terms of, I mean, it's basically an Indiana Jones ripoff.
Yeah, Indiana Jones.
And so a lot of what Uncharted stands on is the performance.
Yeah.
And I think that performance, Claudia Black, especially in the last one, was astounding. So,
Best visual effects in TV or film. The nominees are District 9, Avatar, Star Trek, 2012, and Up.
And the winner is 2012.
Actually, 2012 had some
beautiful yeah. effects, yeah, but yeah.
It's no surprise here that the winner is Avatar.
Yes,
but I don't think we need to discuss it again. No. But it is something to point out that some of these other movies that didn't get nominated in a lot of other categories, like 2012, not a great movie, but the visual effects in that are unquestionably
yes.
impressive and breathtaking.
Yeah. The little inconsistent, like the green screen stuff, was weird, but some of those digital like destruction scenes were crazy.
And some of the best water work I've seen.
Yeah.
Their water in that movie is beautifully done.
Yeah.
Breathtaking.
It's pretty crazy.
So at this point, we're going to take a quick break from the 2009 Geeky Awards. We need to take a look back at 2009. And as we review some of the best stuff that we have seen over the past year, we do need to take a moment to note the passing of some of the geek luminaries that the world has lost over the past year.
Yeah, we want to look back and mention some of the people who in the geek world, just a few people in the geek world who we lost in 2009. So this is
by no means everyone.
No,
but
no.
This is just a few people.
Ricardo Montalban, who played Khan,
and in ode to him, gentlemen, a moment of Khan. Khan!
But also he was, he was in Fantasy Island, which is a very geeky show also.
I loved that show.
We have Michael...
I'm Mr. Rook.
We have Michael Jackson. We bring him up because he...
Thriller,
and he was also Thriller. Captain EO.
Well, and...
Moonwalker.
Okay, now, I mean, Michael Jackson is a controversial life, and knowing some of the things that he was accused of, I feel awkward making the statement I'm about to make. But one of the things that I do respect about Michael Jackson was he did what so many of us geeks said we would do if we ever became wealthy. He made the home he always wanted. He made the Neverland Ranch, which was crazy pants,
yeah.
but it was what he wanted. It was his dream house. It had... You know, it was a freaking theme park
yeah.
in his yep. backyard. That's not what I want. I would like a little castle with a gaming room and like crazy stuff in there.
Dojo.
But we are not geeks to judge other people's geekiness. And what he may or may not have done there is a separate story, whether or not you believe he did. But we tip a hat to Michael Jackson.
We have Kim Manners. She was a producer in X-Files and Supernatural.
Oh.
Philip Jose Farmer, the author of Riverworld.
I didn't know he died.
And other science fiction books.
Oh.
That's a shame.
David Arneson, one of the co-founders of Dungeons & Dragons.
Now, that's a sad death. He is one of the geek forefathers,
yep.
you know, and it's sad that his work should be so overshadowed by Gary Gygax. I mean, Gary Gygax, who did a lot of work for mm-hmm. it, absolutely, and that's not to downplay his contribution. But this is one of the guys who launched fantasy geekdom in the United States. You can't
right.
fight that. This is a founding father of geekdom.
Right.
And then Joseph Weissman also, who played Dr. No.
Mm.
Mm. Wow. So, we take a moment to reflect and remember the geeks who have made our world a geekier place.
And we probably have left out so many people.
So many. You can create a thread on our forums at www.geeksonline.com to who you missed this last year.
Thank you to our founding fathers of geekdom. So, the next, returning back to the 2009 Geeky Awards, the Geeky nominations for the Best Animated Movie include
Up,
Green Lantern, Ponyo, The Fantastic Mr. Fox, and The Princess and the Frog.
And the unanimous vote on this one is Up.
Yeah.
It was a damn freaking good movie.
Damn good
movie.
Yeah.
Squirrel!
Up is one of the few animated movies I've seen in a long time where I'm just like, yeah, this one can compete with the regular movies for
Easily.
Best Picture.
Easily. You
know? See, I consider the dog in Up to be the animated incarnation of Matt.
Really?
Yeah.
What? Because it's like
squirrel.
Squirrel. A butterfly. Oh, look at this! It sparkles. You know. It's like...
You can slap him if you want.
Yeah, I will next time.
Now, a lot of these, unfortunately, I did not vote for because I am not familiar with most of these on the list. The Green Lantern movie, I did not see. Did any of
it's good. See? It's it good. Is? It's good. Yeah,
I was surprised it got nominated by a couple people. Ponyo.
I haven't seen it. Didn't get to see it.
I actually should have double checked the release date on that. Mm. I'm not sure when that came out. Fantastic Mr. Fox was a bit of a sleeper.
Mm.
Yep, still haven't seen it.
And The Princess and the Frog actually has been nominated for a number of things.
Yeah,
so,
very, very cute. I find it sad that even though it did well, The Princess and the Frog might be the death knell for Disney cell animation.
Really?
Yeah, because it didn't, even though they hyped the crap out of it, it didn't sell. So it didn't sell to the level that they wanted it to. So,
yeah, and these guys are the ones that are kind of... They do this all the time. What they'll do is they'll say, it didn't sell well and didn't do well. We shouldn't do cell animation. Just like when they said, oh, we don't do digital stuff well back when they were trying. They did a couple of those. They just need to get... It has nothing to do with whether it's sell or they just need to get a great script, and then they need to get somebody, you know,
somebody with
character.
A great visual idea. You
well,
know,
not only that, but one of the keys to their success with The Little Mermaid and that sort of early, the new golden age for Disney that they launched was they had some fantastic composers on board.
Yep,
and some of the music for the past few movies has been wishy washy.
Well, I would say more so
as much as I do like Randy Newman.
The branding on the Prince and the Frog, Princess and the Frog. Wait, what is it?
It's the Princess and the Frog.
Princess and the Frog. Just wasn't as interesting because it's you know, it's a person and a frog. I mean, even if the story is really great, whereas if you look at a lot of the Toy Story things that have Pixar things that
Up
have come
is
out,
a little hard to sell.
Up was a little hard to
but
sell.
But they didn't go into any. The main thing I thought with the Princess and the Frog, which is that she turns into a frog rather than the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is what I thought could be a fantastic, wonderful selling point for the film, and yet nothing.
Well, that's Shrek. I mean, that's the same twist as Shrek. You know, but the point being, though, if you look at the different things that were made that have been made by Pixar recently, other than Up, most of them have had incredibly visual, interesting, iconic images for the characters.
Yeah,
and.
They have something to sell.
And we've seen frog characters before, so it's not as different. Yeah. So I think even if the story's great, I think that might have been the thing that kind of hurt them in this one.
But Up was amazing. And you know what? The 3D in it was like awesome.
Yeah, beautiful.
I didn't get
beautiful.
They managed to brand it pretty well with the house and the balloons. And,
yeah.
You know, I mean.
Very iconic.
That was what was iconic.
And the best 20 minutes opening. In the opening in a while.
Hardcore.
Yeah. All right.
Best horror film.
Best horror film, Zombieland, Drag Me to Hell, Trick or Treat, Last House on the Left, Halloween 2.
And the winner of Best Horror Film is Zombieland.
Easy.
Interesting.
Yeah, this one hardly was contested, horror, but not...
Because it's not really horror.
Yeah, I voted for it because it's horror-ish.
I wonder now if
and it
more...
whoops these things.
Yeah. I wonder now if more chainsaws have been used on zombies in movies than on trees in real life.
Probably.
I actually voted for Drag Me to Hell on this one.
Ugh.
You know, it was not a perfect movie. In fact, there's a lot of problems with it, and I really didn't like the ending. But
other than that,
I loved it. But there were parts in it that I thought, with like the fight with the old woman in the car, I thought was hysterical.
Oh, that was good.
I thought that was absolutely great.
I can barely.
And if they'd
been
able to pull that off a little more consistently throughout the film,
yeah.
I thought Drag Me to Hell was awful.
That chick would have been hot with a face and a body.
Now, sadly, there was a contender on this list that I think we overlooked.
Yeah.
I did not vote for it because I haven't seen it yet, but word of mouth has been incredible for Trick or Treat.
Hmm.
It's one of those movies that was made years ago, apparently, if I understand the story correct, got shelved by the studios, and then a hardcore fan base managed to try and finally get it released years
ago. When did The Strangers come out? Not last year, year before last?
I don't know.
Last House on the Left, by the way, I saw, and it was okay. Okay. It's good. It's scary, for sure.
I will check it out one of these days. Best geek comedy in TV or film. This one was actually so hotly contested, we had to do several rounds of voting on this one. So, the nominees are Zombieland, Big Bang Theory, Chuck, Robot Chicken, and The Guild. And the winner is Zombieland, again.
Yay!
Now, this one was interesting. We had a knockdown, drag-out fight between Big Bang Theory and Zombieland.
Huh. I think that Big Bang Theory is a more sophisticated type of comedy and more consistently good at it.
I think it's
cute. I think Zombieland was fun, and I really liked it a lot, but it wasn't... It went to a certain point, and then it just kind of stayed at that point, and it was enjoyable, but it wasn't like, oh my god, that was the funniest movie you've ever seen. It wasn't like Shaun of the Dead, where it was like...
Oh, I think...
Other notable mentions, Chuck also came in pretty close with our repeated voting.
Big Bang Theory is funny, is for sure.
It's a funny show.
The Guild got an honorable mention. It's hard for not to mention The Guild when talking about geeky comedies at this point. Now, Robot Chicken, I think, is an interesting one. The fact that it got nominated should be an honor. But the truth is, with Robot Chicken, my feelings are it has moments of brilliance, moments of genius comedy.
Yes.
And then
a lot of stupid.
Large swaths of like, wow, that, yeah, okay, I'm no longer 12. That doesn't amuse me.
Big dumb joke.
By the way, have you guys heard about this Felicia Day getting cast as a gun-wielding...
yeah. She's shooting in Seattle right now.
Gun-wielding... Red Riding Hood going after werewolves.
Awesome. That's awesome. Cool.
It's a sci-fi movie.
I will watch it.
Yeah.
As long as it's not titled like Werewolf Skeeto or something.
No.
It's a great concept.
Blood or...
Okay, the next category is Biggest Letdown. Mm-hmm. This is one that people hoped would be good. You invested some anticipation into it, and then were disappointed with the final result. This one was also very hotly contested. We had to go through several rounds of voting to get this one. So,
X-Men Origins Wolverine, Where the Wild Things Are, Watchmen, G.I. Joe The Rise of Cobra, and Terminator Salvation.
Okay, who was expecting anything from G.I. Joe? I want answers.
It's one of those things where you may not hope, but you may not expect, but you hope.
You were expecting something from G.I. Joe up until you saw any trailer.
Yeah.
And then you went, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And they
you're cast... like, because it could, they could, you could make a good G.I. Joe movie.
And
you
they cast Tatum as Duke, which...
That was actually my introduction to that actor, and I passionately hate him now. Oh. Like, I don't know who he is, and I don't care to know.
Who
won?
Who is the winner?
The winner is... Terminator Salvation.
That's what I picked.
Disappointment?
Disappointment.
Yeah.
The biggest letdown. And I could see that. Now, I actually, the one I was lobbying for hardest was Where the Wild Things Are. Now, the reason why I'm voting for that one is I did not see it.
I saw it.
And I was desperate to see it when I heard they were making it. I was desperate to see it for the first trailer. And then I saw the next trailer. And then I saw the next trailer.
Same exact thing for me.
And then word of mouth started hitting. And just I heard a relentless parade of negative things about it.
It was okay.
I was disappointed by the Wolverine movie. I was definitely disappointed. But I think you're probably right about Terminator Salvation, because the thing about it was Terminator Salvation actually had the makings of a good movie in there. You could actually cut out a lot of scenes in that movie, and you'd have a pretty decent movie.
And not only that, but we went – I think we were all there at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And – when we heard the talk, I was like, I'm liking the idea behind this. I'm
the problem is it was two movies. Well, they did, and they didn't pick the right one plot line.
They had a really strong cast. They had a good budget. The special effects look great in all the trailers.
The backstory for this, just briefly, is that they had a script that was a really good script. And if you watch the movie, you'll see that the plot line that's played by Sam Worthington is basically the script that
they had. That's the script.
And they brought it to Christian Bale, and they said, would you like to play this part? And Christian Bale came back and said, I love it. I absolutely want to do it, but I want to be John Connor. And they said, John Connor's
not in the movie.
He's a voice on a radio, and I think you see him for about 2 minutes in the end. And he goes, yeah, but I really want to be John Connor. Well, Christian Bale is the biggest actor in the world now, so they've got to put him in. So they go back and they rewrite the script and they cram him in there, trying to make him the main character. And it torpedoes.
And by the way, this story sounds like it's a, you would blame What's-His-Nuts for saying that, right?
Christian Bale,
right? You the anger starts going to, but guess what? It's the filmmakers who didn't say sorry, Christian Bale, you're not in the movie. Then we've got an awesome movie. Goodbye.
Which is what they should have said.
The slave to getting a name attached to the movie killed that movie.
And guess what? You had Sam Worthington. Hello, you happened to have gotten the guy who's in every movie. You should have just moved on.
Yeah. Well, they didn't know that at the time.
Nope.
Well,
all these people cast him in the major leading roles, guessing that the heat from Avatar would spill over onto him.
Well, and by the way, it's more like the heat from Terminator spilled onto Avatar, because everyone liked him in Terminator, and you know,
I could see that.
I mean,
all right. The next category is biggest surprise. This is the one that everybody sort of, it's sort of the opposite of biggest letdown. It's the one that nobody really dared hope would be good and turned out to be pretty decent.
Yep.
Okay. Biggest surprise: Avatar, Star Trek, Watchmen, or Caprica.
I was so torn on these.
I haven't watched any Caprica except for the very beginning. And I'm actually torn on all these because I feel like I want to change mine now.
Right. Yeah. Done.
Well, it's too late because Price Waterhouse knows all. And your vote has been tabulated. And the winner is Star Trek.
Really?
Well, yeah, that's what I voted for. Another one that there was a hot contest
I was torn between Star Trek and Avatar. Star Trek, because I was like, you cannot possibly make a good Star Trek film with like Captain Kirk in high school. I was just like, oh boy.
That's exactly why I voted for Star Trek.
And then
Trek.
Avatar was so overhyped, and I really went on the journey with Avatar. But
and,
I thought Star
and
Trek
Watchmen
was good.
Was nice. Watchmen was very nice, but not really, you know, blow your socks off.
My choice would have been between Star Trek and Watchmen. Avatar,
we talked about it.
Yeah, and I feel like I got, you know, what I was expecting.
Now, as the only one who is... The only one who is up to date on Caprica right now, I have to say, Caprica is deserving of its nomination. I watched the pilot.
I watched the pilot.
Was sort of okay with it. Like, it was nice. But about four episodes in, the series got really good.
Now
it's one of the few shows that I will watch the day after it airs.
I hear it's getting better and better, and I now need to go and try to find this.
Okay. They are gathering their steam, and they're finding their feet way faster than I expected.
They better find their audience, because it is crumbling.
Oh, the audience is
crumbling? It is not doing well at all.
That's a shame. Well, because honestly, the past two episodes have been really good.
I had no desire to see it, but now I have some interest, and maybe we can help.
Okay.
Maybe.
So tell us, we four.
It's no Warehouse 13.
Which, by the way,
is still the highest rated show ever on Sci-Fi Channel.
No.
What?
Including Battlestar Galactica.
No.
What?
Yep.
All right. Moving on.
Don't get you, geeks.
All right.
Moving on.
Best digital character.
Batman from Arkham Asylum. The little kid in Up. You couldn't come up with a name?
I'm sorry, Matt. I cut it and pasted it from your email.
The lead alien from District 9. Nate Tierry from Avatar. Or Optimus Prime. Yeah, but I sent that to you 3 weeks
ago.
And
I did a write-in, Nathan Drake.
Oh, okay. Excellent. And Nathan Drake.
Which surprisingly got one vote.
Shit. All right. So what won?
And the winner is Nate Tierry from Avatar.
There we go.
How really? Surprising.
Well, that's not the one I voted for either.
I would have maybe the kid from Up.
My vote was actually for the lead alien from District 9. Like, I actually...
Really?
For me, the reason why I was so impressed by that one was that it was even more seamlessly integrated into real life than anything I've seen before. As opposed to Neytiri, where it's like... No,
Neytiri,
what real life is, it is she interacting with?
Neytiri, like, was not just...
a couple shots with her and Sam Worthington, but...
Neytiri was not just Zoe Saldana. And Neytiri was a compilation of stunt actors and all sorts of different people doing it. And the movement of those... the Pandorans, I really, really, the Na'vi, I really, really love the way they move, because, you know, it takes a lot. You have to understand that that physical movement came from a human being, but it still seemed alien. Yeah. You know, and I loved it.
The reason why I departed from Avatar, though, was because all of it was digital when you saw them. There was very little, like, human digital interaction. It was always human painted. So for me, seeing the insects embedded into real life stuff so well and looking like they're lit by sunlight, you know, for me, that was very impressive.
True. I'll give you that. Both Weta, right? No. Weta couldn't do District 9, even though it was their film, because they were doing Avatar. Right.
That's right. All right. So
poor Nathan Drake.
So the last...
Our final category.
Our final category. The big geeky, so
I know,
speak.
It's probably midnight on the East Coast right now. Yeah. It's probably midnight on the East Coast right now. I'm going to wrap up.
I see our stage manager waving to us that we are out of time. The best geek movie nominations are Watchmen, Star Trek, Zombieland, Avatar, Sherlock Holmes, District 9, and Up. Now, this one, we actually had a complete and utter deadlock on. We went through several rounds of voting, and we were actually unable to come to consensus on this one.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So we went out, we called a couple of our Geekling listeners and geeks that we had access to.
We did the quick to break the tie.
Yeah, we actually had to go to outside sources on this one. And after we have tabulated all votes from all voting members of the Geek Academy... we have declared a winner, and that winner is... District 9.
Hey. So Avatar was close second.
We were totally deadlocked on Avatar and District 9.
Amazing that Avatar...
Whose vote put it over?
I'm sorry?
Whose vote put it over?
Probably Mindy.
I am not... We have... the three listeners are Clint, Mindy, and Kara. Smarty Librarian. Thanks for putting it over the edge, guys.
Was it by one at the end, or was it?
Those three votes put it over.
All three. They're unanimous.
Yes.
Wow.
So that managed to break the tie. Now, Avatar. You know. It's that debate that we had before on the Avatar episode. When it comes to glitz and glamour, you know, Avatar had it. It was bright and shiny and pretty. But when it comes to actual story, Avatar did not deliver all that much.
That's why I think it got sort of squashed at the Academy Awards.
Yeah, it's like it didn't deliver on every front. Whereas District 9, and we didn't... it's funny that District 9 should win, because we didn't discuss it that much during the Geekies.
I like them for different reasons. I voted for District 9 first. And my secondary choice was Avatar. And the thing is that, I mean, Avatar took me to another place. When I got back from that theater, I felt like I just got back from somewhere. And I haven't felt that feeling since Star Wars when I was a kid, you know, whether or not the story was flawed. District 9, I came out really appreciating it and talking to my friends like, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? But isn't that like this? You know, so I really appreciated them on two completely different levels.
Well, and also, now I'm this is going to make me very unpopular, and people will send me evil emails on this one, but I think District 9 discusses two sides of the sci-fi story it is exploring.
Yes.
You have the aliens who are in need. And then you have humans who are presenting a case of like, well, but we have limited resources. You know, we need this stuff too. Having them here is making our life harder, right? Whereas with Avatar, you know, everyone's touting the environmental message that it sends. But it doesn't spout another side. It's just, you know, these just evil, greedy corporation wants the unobtainium. But it doesn't go into why.
There's no subtlety.
They don't get the unobtainium, do people die? Does their civilization collapse? What are the stakes? All you know is they're bad people who want the oil, you know? So on that level, Avatar fails for me. You know, it doesn't present a realistic situation. It's just, you know, environmentalists are right and everyone else is wrong. There is no other side. And I don't buy that. Mm-hmm. So
interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we talked about having this be a tie because, you know, both these movies, you know, like Avatar is one of these movies that I think is going to send, you know, waves throughout Hollywood for a while. It has already changed. And, but, you know, I think impact-wise for me, District 9, I just kind of left feeling like I'd been involved in something, you know.
I don't think there's any question that Avatar is probably the more important picture, you know?
Yeah.
It really is. But District 9, speaking on a personal level...
And Tim Burton should write...
So District 9 is the...
check.
District 9's the Hurt Locker of the Geekies.
Yeah, exactly. District 9 is the Hurt Locker of the Geekies. Yeah, no, Tim Burton, basically, because his opening weekend for Alice in Wonderland was so huge... Because you know, a lot of people for the first time went. Oh, yeah. You know, I gotta go see it.
More 3D.
Yeah. Yep. Write him a check.
Very true. Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes the 2009 Geeky Awards.
Wow.
Do you have some thoughts? Do you want to get back to us on any of this stuff? You can do that. You can send us messages.
You can.
Yes. You can tell us how wrong you were.
I would suggest going to the forums.
Doctor Who was the best picture ever.
I would suggest going to our forums at www.geekson.com or emailing us at geeks@geekson.com or each of us individually at Aaron, Matt, Peter, or Don at geekson.com.
Yeah, for sure. Send us email. We love it. Yes. It's the fuel.
It's the fuel that keeps us going, people.
Exactly. And let me tell you, I've been in contact with our Geeklings over various different questions lately and just talking to some of them personally. And I'd like to thank our fans. You guys are really, really amazing and great. And thank you for reaching out to us because we really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, and it's like having this giant brain.
It is like a gigantic brain. We really do own the 42, you know, Douglas Adams brain. We have it. We have it.
Thank you to our listeners. Thank you for wasting another hour with us. And
good night, everybody.
On behalf of all the geeks, have a great geek week.
Good night.
Rock it out.